disciples. And we would like to read the scripture from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Now, I want us to look at the subject authority. You can keep the verse 19 up, verse 18 up. The subject, authority. Authority is delegated power. That means a mighty force is behind you that will come and crush anyone who stands in the way. Authority is delegated power. Someone has delegated you, has assigned it to you. And that person who's assigned to you has a force. It's a force, it's a power. Like a government authorizing the policeman to do things on its behalf. Delegated power. And the government is more powerful than either of you or any of us, because it carries the force of the whole nation and our military. And when it assigns it to someone, that power is delegated. And anyone who stands in the way, there's going to be retribution. You'll be crushed. It also means there is something much bigger and weightier than what the eye can see, which will hold anyone captive if you violate its orders. So if you see a policeman on the road and he lifts his hands up or she lifts the hands up, I want you to understand that a person carries authority. It's not just the policeman in the verse that you see, but there's something mightier and weightier behind that person. And therefore, when the person lifts their hand and said, "Stop, go this way," even if you want to go that way, when the policeman says that way, you dare not come this way, you go that way. But that policeman is just ordinary man or woman like you, isn't it? What is the difference? The difference that he or she carries authority. There's a power and a weight behind what that person is. So there's something bigger that your eyes cannot see behind that police person. That is authority. And if you violate the police officer's orders, that person can hold you captive. They can give you a ticket or arrest you. When you are arrested, you've been held captive. That means you are not free anymore. So when Jesus Christ said, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go," Jesus is saying that, you know what? There is something mighty, something incredible, something weighty that I have thrown behind you as his disciples. So this is an incredible power from God that he has given you, a disciple of Jesus. It is the absolute right to call on things in the heavens to obey you. and things on earth to submit to your orders at any time. So the policeman or woman has that authority that he or she uses that can cause us to obey them, right? Obey means you cannot question too much. You have to listen. And for us, Jesus is saying he's giving you the authority, backed by his supernatural power, for you to call things from heaven to obey you and things on earth to submit to you. That is who God has made us. And these orders you can use at any time, and the heavens will respond to you at any time, and the earth will submit to you at any time. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And this was an instruction that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. Because when you read the account of Matthew, he said, and the disciples were waiting for him, and he came, and they worshipped him. They acknowledged his lordship over their lives. They acknowledged that he was their master. So he said, now I want you to hear me. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. This is the absolute right to call on God's supernatural power in heaven to obey you and back you up here on earth to influence situations around you wherever the kingdom of God is exercised. It's God's supernatural power given to you to back you up, to influence situation. So sometimes you don't need to call a pastor to pray for you, right? That Almighty Baptist, they said, priesthood of all believers, that you have that power as a disciple of Jesus Christ to make sure that situations can be changed, and you are supposed to influence that situation according to your word, backed by the power of God, because that is authority. We don't see our ministers of state or defense minister or the prime minister or the whole community of the cabinet coming to stand behind every policewoman or policeman. But then the policeman or woman exercises that authority, knowing that that power is behind him or her, and therefore he is able to influence situation. They are able to block roads and you not get in. They are able to open a road and divert you and you have to go that way. They change situation. They influence situation. So God has given me that authority to influence situation. Hallelujah. Amen. Say influence. Influence. Hallelujah. And let me give you an example. I'm British, right? So I love Britain. If you don't like it, migrate. Praise God. See, I'll give you an example of a governor exercising authority in the British Empire or any other empire for that reason on behalf of the king, queen, or emperor. So if there is a king and you appoint a governor to another part where the influence of the king overrides or prevails, then that governor exercises authority in the name of the king or the emperor, right? And this has been the case right from the Old Testament, been the case right in the New Testament, been the case right now. They exercise authority. And even right now, you go to a different country, you have an ambassador, that compound that we said this is the High Commission or the ambassadorial, plot, even the nation that you are located in cannot enter your premises if they are following protocol without the permission of the ambassador. That is authority. Do you get that? Even in the land of the country, you are in an alien country, right? A foreign country, and you have the ambassador's compound or the embassy, that place cannot be invaded because you exercise the authority of your nation. So it is with us. That anywhere we stand, we exercise the authority God has given us in that area. That is why we influence the area in which we are. Exercise authority. So anywhere the foot of your feet will tread, that place, you have to exercise authority. You have to claim that place. You have to own it. And you can set boundaries, and he said that, you know what? Satan, thus far you can go. You can set up boundaries and set evil, that far you can go. You can set boundaries and say sickness, that far you can go. You can set boundaries and say, you know what? Hatred, discrimination, whatever you want to call it, or whatever you are probably thinking enslaved with, that's far you can go, because I am the divine authority in this area. In Jesus' name. The command has been given, and that is our mandate. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Therefore means as a result of something, right? As a result of the authority that has been given to me, according to what Jesus Christ says and Scripture says, as a result of all authority has been given to me, therefore I should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As a result of this delegated power given to you, the authority, go. You must understand the authority given to you to be able to use it or go out to implement it. That is, put it into practice. I'm excited to hear, Josephine, and I'm sure most of you also, many people have similar, testimonies to give, that she feels empowered. But then you have to exercise it. What use it is when you have power and when you're not exercising it? What use it is when you're an ambassador and you don't even know you're right, and somebody can just walk on the street and come here and say, hey, this country belongs to England, get out of it. But if you're an ambassador and you know that that land, that piece of land, the person in the city, not even the president, can come and check you out, you tell them that this is diplomatic compound. So you tell them diplomatic compound, because you come in the authority of the nation that sent you there. So we have to exercise it, and that is the command. Go and implement it. And this means whatever you are doing and wherever you are right now need to be reset to the original intent. Are you following? The original intent is that we will walk in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To able to go and make disciples. In effect, the disciples' way of thinking and doing things must be brought and aligned to the authority given you, so that you act and exercise your right in the name of the power that has sent you. Should I repeat that? In effect, the disciples' way of thinking and doing things must be brought and aligned to the authority given you, so that you will act, exercise your right in the name of the power that has sent you. And in this way, the power that has sent us is Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. So who sent us? Who sent the disciples? Jesus. Looks like some of you are not sure. Bible says Jesus said, all authority. Read from verse 17. Who was talking? Definitely not me, not Dwayne. Surely, when I talk, some of you may not listen, but Jesus says, that is scripture. For an example, a newly graduated policeman in service must ditch his views about the world in order to carry out his mandate. Whatever view he's got to ditch it so that he can carry out his mandate to bring peace and order into society by enforcing the law of the kingdom. So we have to ditch our way of thinking and begin to think like Jesus, so that we will bring law and order in the kingdom in which we have been sent. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our mandate is to go and make disciples of all nations. That means everyone, anyone, wherever they are, of every culture, tribe, and tongue. We are to make disciples of all, not followers of all. Followers have diverse opinions, but disciples follow the master. Are you getting the difference there? Followers have different opinions, but disciples follow the master. Baptizing them in the name, listen, in the name, one, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That means baptize them in the name of the Father means bring repentance unto people. Bring them to the point of repentance so that they can repent of their sin. That is the good news that God wants us to preach. Because John the Baptist came to preach repentance, bringing people to the point to know that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you and me will open our heart and say, God, you know what? Here we are. We want you.
Amen.
That is the name of the Father. Go and preach repentance. That is good news. Because when people repent, that means they change their ways. They just say, God, I'm sorry. That means they are willing to turn around and face God and do what God expects of them so that their sins will be atoned for. That is what Jesus Christ has already done to cover their sins by dying on the cross. It will become effective in their life. That means you are going to activate what Christ has done thousands of years ago to be your reality. Because there are a lot of people walking around that the death of Jesus Christ means nothing. But it will mean something to you when you say, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I recognize where I am. That's repentance. So you reactivate what he has done, become a reality for you. And then there is remission of sin. That means forgiveness, washing away of your sins. That's how it works. And then in the name of the Son, we are baptized into Christ. That means you are going to be identified with something. So our policemen and women, the example I'm giving you, see that on the front of the hat, they have the crown of the nation, isn't it? They have it on their uniform. That is identification. So we baptize people to identify with the crown, who is Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to know that we belong to Jesus. The devil needs to know that we belong to Jesus. The community around needs to know we belong to Jesus. Your friends, your family, everybody needs to know that you belong to Jesus. There's got to be a crown somewhere, whether on your chest or on your head, wherever it is, they need to know that. And in the Holy Spirit, baptize them. That means the supernatural power of God, baptize them in the supernatural power of God, so that you'll be a witness of the love and the compassion and the power of God to all nations. God wants us to witness his love, show his love, his compassion. It was compassion that moved Jesus Christ to heal the sick. It was compassion that moved him to open the blind eyes. It was compassion because he couldn't stomach a human being walking about and bumping into things and getting hurt. It was compassion that moved him to, cast out demons because he couldn't stand where people are, son of Abraham, or people born by their mothers and their fathers, demonized and hurting themselves and literally destroying themselves to go to hell. He couldn't stand that. Compassion and love moved Jesus to do these things. It wasn't just for fame, compassion and love. That's why John chapter 3, verse 16 says that for the God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read on and it says, for God did not come to condemn this world. The world loves to live in darkness, but he came that anyone who believes him will be saved. That's what Jesus Christ won. We have to be witnesses to all of the love, compassion, and power of God to all nations. Sometimes Christians are so good in witnessing the love of God to all nations, the compassion to all nations, but we forget the power of God. Because without power, we leave a whole lot of people. How would the sick be healed? How would the blind see? How would the lame walk? How would the demonized be cast out? Love will not cast them out. But the compassion and the power of God will do that. Amen. You see, and when you read through this verse, you see the word and, A-N-D, being used over and over and over again. The and means it is only after you have gone through one process of baptism that you can move to the next process. Are you hearing that? It is only after you've gone through repentance that you can go through water baptism, then you can go through Holy Spirit baptism. But and also means that they follow after each other. Not one today and the next one 10 years time and another one when you are dying. They got to follow each other. So when you come to faith in Christ, get baptized. Then get baptized by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and be empowered to be a real child of God. That's what discipleship is all about. What did he say? Go and make disciples of all nations. Then he pointed, baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. One. So these three are one. You see, we are quick to say, oh, that is Trinity. Of course. That means the three are one. So you cannot do one and leave the other. It's got to be together as a package. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I challenging your theology a little bit? We have to. Otherwise, we'll be very cozy armchair Christians. And we love the word of God the way it is, but application becomes an issue for us. Remember, he wanted them to be action-oriented disciples, people who apply the word of God in the proper manner. So it is only after you've gone through these processes of baptism that you can call yourself a disciple of Jesus. Otherwise, you are a follower of Jesus. Followers of Jesus only hang around him for what they will get. If today they come to church, they feel happy, hallelujah, they're happy in church. If tomorrow they don't feel happy, no church. If they feel, and today they feel so spiritual, they're praying. If tomorrow they are having a problem, no prayers. If today they feel inspired, they read the word of God. Tomorrow, if they don't feel inspired, the word of God is left on the shelf. That is what a follower does. But a disciple is different. Followers don't like to be told the truth about Scripture. They prefer to hold on to their own opinions and traditions. Followers of Jesus get offended when you ask them to make a sacrifice to become his disciples. And they will easily walk away. Where did I get my source from? If you read John chapter 6, Jesus Christ brings a whole discourse around when he was challenging the people that are now. Many people were following him because they saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him do miracles. The Bible said many people were trudging on him, upon him. And they were around him all the time. And he said, now, hear this. And when you read John chapter 6, you see that those who were followers, they said, who can hear this? They walked away. Verse 66 will tell you that. Verse 70 will tell you that. And we want to challenge you as a church that we're going through a new beginning and a new life. It doesn't mean that you're going to change as a person, But we want to change your perspective to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as opposed to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And for us as a church, we should have a vision of the house where followers who have different opinions will begin to think and look at Scripture and say, this is what the Bible says. Because most of us have come from different traditions. My father was a Methodist, my mother was a Presbyterian, and I went to an Anglican school, and I became an Anglican. Now I'm a Baptist, so you see how confused I could be. So I have all these theologies coming through. And then you come and stand and somebody, oh, this is what I think. Oh, this is what I think. This is not about what you think, but what Jesus says. Amen. Are you with that? Followers have opinions, but disciples follow Jesus Christ. Verse 20. I'll spend a little bit of time there. And it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And teaching them. This is not a Bible discussion where people will tell you their opinions, what they believe or what they think. And I'll argue this case, as I said. People have come from various streams of spirituality, and some haven't even been properly taught to know the way. Because disciples were known as people of the way. So some people have not even been properly taught to know the way. Or what things they ought to be. Or what things ought to be in Scripture. It is easy for such people to quote out of context to suit themselves because they do not want to obey. The word obey, that's what Jesus Christ said. And if I'm using King James Version, you'll be saying, oh, that's King James Version. Doesn't matter. Well, we are using New International Version, UK. So you can't complain, isn't it? This is our own language. So you cannot complain. Teaching them to obey. Obey means teaching them to submit. Teaching them to follow intently. Teaching them to observe, conform, abide by, act upon. I'm taking them from the dictionary, so in case you miss it, just go back to the dictionary and use obey and use thesaurus to find out what it means. To submit, follow intently, observe, conform, abide by, act upon, comply with, or do as Scripture tells them to do. Teaching them to obey. Submit, follow intently, observe, conform, abide by, act upon, comply with, or do as Scripture tells you. And in fact, in the dictionary, you know what it says? Do as you are told. I didn't want to say it from the first instant in case you're thinking I'm being too rude. That's what obey means. And this is English language, the Queen's language. And we all swear allegiance to the Queen, don't we? If you don't, hard life. We are in England. So, those who don't want to obey Scripture will prefer to sit in their comfort zones and not move forward. They prefer to follow Jesus. They prefer to be followers of Jesus. But the Lord and Master want us to become disciples. And today you can choose to become a disciple or a follower. Discipleship, it's a ministry of the supernatural power of God, which is what the kingdom of God is all about. Remember, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Teachers are taught. Yes or no? Nobody becomes a teacher unless they are taught. You know that? You can't just get up and say, I'm the teacher of your school. Yeah? Who headmaster will accept that? No way. If it is a good school, they will never accept that. Teachers are taught, trained, and practice their profession in a confident manner. Otherwise, they are no use to their students. I'm saying this because I've been a teacher of secondary school before. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's true, because I have students to prove it, and they are now in their 50s. They can confirm that. They used to call me Mr. Nash, and I was so young. If you are not trained and practice your profession in a confident manner, you are no use to your students. A teacher imparts knowledge. Say knowledge. Experience. And influence. And they shape the destiny of their students to benefit the student and not the teacher. You see, as a teacher, you stand in front of your student, you teach them knowledge. You influence them, you give your experience to them. You shape their destiny because you are teaching them something that will help them. If you teach them bad, they will become bad. You understand that? Unless they are exceptional. So we want our teachers to be qualified so that they can teach the student well. Imagine you want to take your child to school. You move into the area, you take your child to school, and somebody tells, oh, you know, this school, nobody passes their GCSE. Unless you are a very, very amazing Christian, you don't want your child to go to that school, is it? Nobody passes GCSE, and you want to put your child in there, what result are you expecting? But then if you take your child to a school and they say, wow, everybody gets 5A+, it will be oversubscribed. You want to take your child there, isn't it? Because you're influencing them for something good. Because you know one day your child will become the bin man that you wanted him or her to be, or your child will become the doctor or the pilot or the engineer or the teacher you want the child to be. So you take your child to that school. And teachers teach children to the benefit of the student, not themselves. Because whatever you're teaching them, what's the benefit to you as a teacher? You are imparting knowledge and experience to them, to benefit them. What good then will it be to the student if the student is coming to discuss his or her views in the classroom all the time? Yeah, the student comes and says, Miss, today, what's your name? Yeah, Miss Calamon. I've come today. You know what? This is my idea. This is what we're going to learn. And you are the teacher, right? Mr. Simi, this is what today I've found, and this is what we're going to learn. And you say, yes, sir. Who is the teacher there? You or the student? You have to influence their lives, not them influencing you. What good then will it be to the student if the student does that? And to teach them all things. The word teach comes from the Greek word kerygma. It means to direct, to impart, to encourage, to announce, to correct, and rebuke. So people will learn in the right way. And if the student has questions, they ask and you give directions or answers. Not a discussion group or a Bible study group. You understand that? Jesus said, let them go and teach them all things. So you see how sometimes our theology has become a little bit different? A lot of people want a Bible study group so that they can give you their opinions. So you leave home, you have 10 opinions, you are confused. Which one is which? Somebody needs to teach them. So Jesus says, go and teach them to obey all things. Teach them. That's why I brought the teacher bit, because I know some of you are teachers. Teach also implies help them to learn, help them to experience, help them to practice what you are teaching them. Help them to learn, help them to experience, help them to practice what you are teaching them. See, people are certified in their profession and trade because they have been taught in a particular way. I said, I know there are teachers here. You teach your student a particular way, not ways. So that when I see this young boy, I can say, surely that is his teacher. Because his teacher writes like that. He speaks like that. This is the handiwork of the teacher. That's why when somebody is apprenticed with a master, they come out good craftsmen like the master. And when you see that person, you know that person has been taught by the master. You understand that? I need to come and learn some painting here. Or some English or something. So, what was I saying? People are certified and taught in a particular way. Therefore, when they are practicing their profession or trade, you know what you are getting from them. There is a standard of trade you would expect from any of them because they have been taught. Jesus said, go and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. That's the standard of trade. Imagine you go to a carpenter to make you a lovely dining hall table. And apparently the carpenter was a plumber. You definitely not get that your dream table that you want. Because he has been taught a particular way to plumb, not to be a carpenter. So, teaching them to observe everything, that is to look intently into something so that you will take it in with the view of putting it into practice. So sometimes when somebody is being apprenticed, they have to look intently what the master is doing so that they can practice the same. So when Jesus Christ spoke, he said, now I want you to observe, look intently what I am doing and go and do it. That is what he was saying. And I'm talking to disciples. As I said, followers get a little bit edgy when you tell them the truth. We teach our students or disciples to believe so that they will do what we have been doing and go and do greater works. The other day I was speaking to someone, and someone and I taught in secondary school now has a doctorate degree. Another person was a professor and looking out for me. And I haven't got a doctorate degree. I have taught that person, and the person was just phoning me to tell me how grateful he was to be taught in a secondary school and how I influenced him that even after his first degree, he did some teaching in 10, and he was using the notes that I taught them in year 10. And I'm thinking, notes in year 10, you use it, what, to teach? And that was incredible. And he was so, so grateful. See, the blessings of a teacher, sometimes not so much of money, but somebody to come and say thank you. It fills your tongue. I was so surprised that the person had been looking for me for years just to say thank you. So Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 12, truly, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So Jesus Christ has brought us to come to the point to do greater things. But human beings have the tendency of doing what is right in their own eyes. When there is no leadership or proper guidance, they do what they see fit. And the last verse in the book of Judges, which I believe is chapter 25, verse 21, is the very last verse in the book of Judges. For 400 years in the book of the Judges, the Bible said they had no leader. They had no king. And everybody does what is right in his own eyes. And because they had no kings, within the 400-year period, the people of Israel were going in cycles. They only had judges, administrators, who was guiding them every now and then. If the administrator dies, they go back to do the same bad things again. So they did not move on. 400 years of being in cycles. That is incredible, isn't it? Cycles of oppression. And they say, God, we're sorry. And then God forgive them. And then they have a wonderful time. And then the judge dies. And then they go and do the same thing again. That means their life goes round and round in circles. Nothing happens. If you are getting tired, I will soon be finished. But I have a message to preach in these three verses. Hallelujah. To prevent this from happening, that people doing what fits, what is right in their own eyes, the people of God do not have to end up going in cycles with no growth. Believers should devote themselves to the apostles' doctrine, that means teaching, right? In other words, there is an apostolic way of teaching the disciples that that even the apostles would not deviate from or let anyone get in the way. When you look at Acts chapter 6, and when you read through up to verse 4, you hear that there were some the Hellenistic Jews, that means people who were not born, who were not Jewish by birth, but adopted the Jewish traditions and were part of the community of believers, they felt that their widows were being discriminated against. So they came to the apostles and said, you know what, can you see that Duane is sharing the food but only give it to people who live in Deptford, and those who live in Lewisham don't get any? He says, he lives in Deptford. And the apostles said, you know what, it is not right for us to leave the word of God and come and attend to tables. So find people who are full of faith, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, and choose them from among yourself to do that work. That means he was saying, I want you to empower other people to use their gift in the way that they are good at. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the teaching of the word of God. So there's an apostolic way to teach. In other words, there's an apostolic way, and this apostolic way is born out of prayer, fasting, revelation, and the ministry of the word of God. Prayer, fasting, revelation, and ministry of the word of God. And when we read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 43, the Bible said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with an awe or sense of awe at the many wonders and signs being performed. I just want to bring our message to an end in the next few minutes. But I will say this. The apostles' teaching brought a sense of awe. In other words, their senses were blown away by awe. That's my language, right? They were so overawed that they stopped logicalizing things. Oh, could it be? Oh, could it be that Jesus Christ meant this way? Oh, could it be that God meant it that way? Oh, could it be that our theology this way? I went to a theology college, right? I went to Spurgeon's College. And when I went, some of the things that, oh, baptism, let's discuss this. There's kind of baptism that it is like circumcision. There's kind of baptism that it is like, sprinkling of water. There's kind of baptism that it is like this. Now tell us what you think. And I'm thinking, who is the lecturer here? That's how we are taught. They said, this is what these people think. This is what these people think. This is what these people think. But this is what the Baptists think. And I'm thinking, so if I'm not Baptist, I can't think that way, right? I can't think any way I like. There's the apostles' doctrine. There's some truth somewhere that we have to hang on to. And that is why we said there's a new life, new beginning. And I want to challenge you as a church. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there is a way to be a disciple. And I believe that where we as a church want to go, everyone who wants to travel with us and be a disciple of Jesus Christ must go through that. Because I cannot afford to stand for people to say, I'm not going to baptize. I've been in this church for a while, and people said, I am not going to baptize. They argue with me. They're not going to baptize, but then they want to be church leaders. They want to lead our ministries. And sometimes, I don't know whether it's timidity or compromise. I say, okay, that's fine when you are ready. And they're never ready. And people are walking all the way to the end of the age, and God is not with them. And I'm allowing that. So I've told my leaders, you have to go through this pathway that we're going. And if you want to be a leader of this church, you've got to go through it. It doesn't matter even if you're a bishop, you've got to go through it. God, you've got to be taught. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, What is this then? We want to move you from here to there. So today, my conclusion is, all authority, Jesus said, has been given to me. Go therefore and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the close of the age. So I will challenge you, if you're sitting here and you heard me talk for how many minutes now? 43 minutes. And you'll be wondering, what does it mean for me who doesn't know Jesus Christ? So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, there is good news for you. The good news is that God is love, and God has a purpose for everyone, including you. You understand that? And that Jesus Christ came to save mankind from anything that will otherwise harm us. And he came to destroy the works of evil. Anything that will destroy, Jesus Christ came to destroy that on the cross. And today, if you accept him and believe in him, he gives you the right to become a son of God. Nady, come string some songs. We're going to pray right now.